It's a good-looking bunch today. Whole bunches and bunches of them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Man, I love coming to church and breaking the bread of fellowship with you guys. I like it when church doesn't go as planned. There's nothing wrong with the plan. The plan's always good. But man, I like it when the Holy Ghost interrupts your service. Mark Hankin said, if the Lord doesn't ever interrupt your preaching, he must not like what you're saying. Right? Because he always wants to confirm his word. Praise God. With signs following, signs accompanying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I say this and everybody laughs, but I'm going to say it again today, that I don't believe we'll be very long today. It seems like the Lord is... I guess I asked for that. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, the Lord put this passage in particular on our heart because I believe it's Paul's best explanation, or a better way to say that is the expansion of the Great Commission Jesus gave to the followers, to his disciples. This is Paul's directive of that Great Commission to the church, and specifically here to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 16, he gives them a command, come on, that we are to allow the grace of God according to the gift that he's given us. Come on, each one of us has this measure. But I want to focus just on the one phrase from Ephesians 4, 16 today. He said, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And again, now the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the guide. He's the one who lives on the inside. He's the author of this book. And he just also happens to be God, the Spirit, living and filling you. Amen? So he wants to talk about his word. And so he keeps elaborating on how this applies to my life and how this applies to our life and our church, Sharon. And so I want to give this elaboration to us this morning. Turn over back to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, Proverbs, in chapter 6. It is a familiar one to you. If you haven't read it lately, you have heard it at some point in your life, for sure. Proverbs chapter 6, although I've never, ever found out that this was anybody's favorite passage of Scripture. You can always determine where people are by what their favorite passage of Scriptures are, right? And I've never heard anybody quote this as their favorite passage of Scripture. But you know what? It's God's Word anyhow. Amen? And so Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. And the Lord's been dealing with my heart specifically about being very fruitful. Now, there's a difference in being busy and being fruitful, right? There's a difference in being busy and being productive. You have to have some level of busyness in order to have production, but you can possibly be busy without production. Meaning, if you don't have a plan, and if you just react to everything and just have everybody else dictate your actions, then you can remain busy. And I say that because I have proven that sometimes over periods of years, where you're just always busy, but without a plan, still not very fruitful or productive. And the Lord wants to increase his fruitfulness in our life. Now, we know this because of multiple passages, do we not? Right? John chapter 15, he says, he's the vine, we are the branches, and he prunes. The vine dresser, our Father God, will prune, come on, to cut off things that aren't being fruitful. Because what's the purpose of the vine? It's to produce fruit. And what's the purpose of the branch? To produce fruit. We are attached to him. Glory to God. And so he's very interested in us being productive. He gave us the parable to help us to understand that a certain man gave three different amounts to three different men, right? And two of them took it and multiplied those amounts back. One of them got scared and hid the money and did nothing with it. And he got rebuked, did he not? And it even Jesus even said, this was red letters, right? Jesus even said that the master took that portion from him and gave it to one of the men that would do something with it. So our Father God is very interested in us being fruitful. And so he keeps stirring my heart about this. Come on, to think bigger. Think bigger. Jay, think bigger. You're not thinking big enough. Come on, we must be more fruitful. Why? Because the harvest is plenteous. That's why. The harvest is plenteous. And he said in Matthew 9, but the laborers are few. Therefore, to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers. Say laborers. Today, I want to talk about work. And I know this is a four-letter word. And some people treat it as such. But work is, come on, it's not a four-letter word in a negative sense, right? Work's not a cuss word. Work is the fulfillment of the gift and the grace of God. Right? Ephesians 4:7 says that Christ has measured to each one of us a grace according to the gift. And so he's created us with purpose, right? He knew us in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, are we not? And we're not made to sit, right? Psalm 1, he said, avoid those who sit and mock. What do people that sit and mock? They don't work, right? If they were busy working, they wouldn't have time to be sitting and mocking. This is spiritual reality and spiritual truth. How many people do we know that aren't busy producing and they become highly opinionated? How many women, come on somebody, right? If we're not busy, then we have so much time to evaluate what other people are doing. But if we are busy, come on, we don't even have time to pay attention to what's going on. I actually get excited on a Sunday when I'm finally get a break after the Sunday service and we're finished, you know, with the whole event of Sunday morning, and I realize I don't even know if Kentucky won or lost yesterday. It blesses me. What's that mean? That means I've been fruitful. That means I've been productive, right? That means that I've been so busy doing something that's on my heart to do and that I've been gifted and graced to do that I didn't even think about stopping to evaluate what somebody else did, right? And so the Lord needed to teach me something, so I'm teaching it to you today. So he said, did I not tell you in my word to consider the ant? And I said to the Lord the same thing that I've said every time the Holy Spirit reminded me of this passage. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that. And the Holy Spirit genuinely arrested my heart and said, have you considered the ant? Have you actually watched it? And it's interesting because Solomon said, considered her, right? And so I thought, is that true? And when I researched the ant, it's actually very true. Male ants only live about 17 days, some of them not even that much. All the ants you see working, those are female ants. Isn't that typical of the church? Come on, somebody. And so you have the queen ant that can live up to 30 years. All those female ant, the worker ants that you see, they live up to 3 years. And the male ants, they just have one job, and that's to fertilize, and then they die 3 days later. And so when Solomon said, consider her ways, come on, that was supernatural. I don't know that they had the technology to understand that all of those ants were females, and yet by the Spirit of God, he penned it that way. And so I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to watch them. And so over the last few months, I've been watching them. And it's interesting because there's ants on every continent of the world except for Antarctica. 12,000 different species of ants, and yet they all behave the same way. They work, and then they work, and then they work. And it's interesting because you never see a group of ants, because ants are colonists, right? They work in teams. And so Solomon said, if you want to be effective, if you want to be productive, then you got to watch the ant, and you're going to learn some things, and it'll help you come out of being sluggish and a sluggard, and it'll help you to come out of poverty, because poverty is a curse, right? Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, number one, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. Secondly, he said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So the very first thing that Jesus quoted, and that's Isaiah 61, Jesus is quoting from, right? So the very first thing the Lord said that this anointing, this operation of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' life is, he is able to preach the good news to the poor. And the poor made up a large percentage of the population there. So there's a lot of revelation in that reality, right? That God doesn't look down upon the poor or the downtrodden. He doesn't need to look down upon them. He made us all in his likeness and his image. What do the poor need? They need the good news. What's the good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more, right? That's the good news. And so Solomon said, if you want to come out of your poverty, then watch the ant. And he didn't just say, glance at it. He said, consider it. See it. And so I had honestly, and I had to apologize to the Lord because I had actually never taken time to watch them. What do I do with the ants? I'm in a hurry. Are you in a hurry? I'm in a hurry. And so when I see ants, then I use my thumb and I kill ants. Right? I use my finger. If I see ants, right? That means you turn the light on and they started to move, right? When they start to move, you got to kill them before they get somewhere you can't kill them, right? And so I'd never taken time to watch the ant because I was too busy killing the ants. And so I obeyed the Lord and I just started watching. And it's amazing what the ants will do because they just unify to work. I was even watching ants in Cuba the other day. And I'm telling you, when the Lord enlightens your eyes, you start seeing life differently, do you not? And so I've been watching ants. Amy and I haven't had any nighttime conversations about the ants, right? But the Lord's been messing with my heart about it. And you know, it's hard when you really consider the ant. We don't measure up, right? So I don't like to talk about it. The ant can lift 50 times its body weight. And when that's not enough, they go get help. Ants will move leaves to bring back to the nest, to help make the nest, right? Amy said she saw a group of ants move a ham sandwich. And so, so I don't want to talk about the ant with Amy, right? Because I'm like acknowledging my sluggishness, right? My sluggardness. Let's not even talk about that ant, right? I'm just going to keep watching it. And so I was in Cuba last month, and Patrick Sowers was sharing his testimony with 22 inmates from a prison that had been allowed to come over and work on this church. And the reason they had been allowed to come over and work on this church is because the pastor of the church got the warden of the prison born again. Glory to God. So the warden let some inmates come over, and they've been working for the past 3 weeks on the renovations of this church building. And so the pastor and the church family were treating them as kindly as they could, right? And always and just being treating them just like they were one of them. And so Norlin, Pastor Norlin, he organized strategically, knowing we were coming. He thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a celebration on the last day that they're here, the last day of this construction, and I'm going to have all these guys come to my house, and we're going to throw a party, and we're going to feed them like kings, and then we're going to share the gospel with them. And Pat Sowers, one of the members here of this church, right? He was an addict for 19 years. It's a powerful testimony of God's deliverance and his power. And so Pat shared his testimony with these guys. And so for those 20, 25 minutes, I wasn't involved in the ministry as far as speaking or anything like that. And so it's just Pat and Daniel, the translator. And so I stepped outside of the home to make room because we're all crammed, you know, in there. And I stepped outside within earsight and eyesight. I'm watching this happening, but I just stepped out off the stoop and there was a crack in the stoop and there was a colony of ants busy at work transporting crumbs from the floor back to the colony, back to the nest. And man, just like every other colony of ants, they were lined up and they were diligent. Man, they did not stop, right? They got little chunks of bread carrying them overhead, right? They are busy. And as soon as they got back, here they come empty-handed. They're ready to go again. And I love the ant because the ant doesn't consider that they can't do it. Right? So a man or a group that thinks they can and a group that thinks they can't are both right. Right? And so whatever it is that's on our heart to do or that the Lord has instructed us to do, if we will consider the ant, to realize if we will all take our place and do our share, it's not that the queen of the colony comes out and she's like, whoa, look at me. I am the queen. Stand back and watch me do this thing. No. Come on, the queen's doing her job. She's producing the eggs, right? She's doing her job. What are all the workers doing? They're doing their job. Everybody's doing their part. And together, you can't stop them. This was not my kitchen counter. This was not my bathroom sink, so I had no need to kill all the ants. I got to just observe. So for 20 minutes, I'm just watching the ants. They work so diligently. See, this is beautiful because Romans chapter 1 says that creation itself declares the glory of God, that no man has an excuse to say there is no God. Because if you will just look at the work of his hands, it is obvious that there is a creator. And Paul says to the church at Rome, it's even obvious of his Trinity. Amen. That if you will look at creation itself, no man can say there is no God. And if we will observe the creation and quit worshiping the creature that is created by the creator. Oh, I just have a soapbox there. I better step back off because I got somewhere else to go this morning and I'm in a hurry. There's something wrong with a society that's got two dogs in the car and passes up people walking down the side of the road. Let me just tell you. Come on, somebody. The further we go on any of these lines where we love the creation and not the creator, we are a messed up society. I'll tell you how we could double the size of this church right now if we added doggy daycare. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Let us love one another right now. Come on now. You say, you don't like dogs? No, I love dogs. I love all of God's creation, but I love the Creator. And I'm not worshiping animals. It was the action of societies of all time. Right? That they tried to form and fashion God into the image of birds, into the image of a lion, into the image of a cow, into the image, right? That we worship the creature and we shake our fist at the creator. When if you will stop and examine and consider the creature, it will teach you of the creator. Jesus said, you don't have to wonder whether or not your Father God will take care of you if you will just consider the lilies of the field. Even King Solomon has never been arrayed in the glory and splendor of just one of God's lilies. Hallelujah. He said, are you wondering whether or not that God's going to feed you and take care of you? What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He said, just consider the birds of the air. Hallelujah. They neither toil or strain, right? But there's always food available. God always makes a way. He's faithful. Oh, so faithful. So if we'll actually escape our busyness, and I'm not preaching at you now, I'm just letting you know what the Lord's dealing with me about. If I can escape my busyness to actually take a moment and observe the creation that God has made and its perfection, it trumpets and declares the glory of God. One day recently, I walked by a tree and the Holy Spirit. And don't worry, listen, I'm not becoming a tree hugger, okay? Just settle your heart down here. I'm all right. The Lord's, amen. Still make heaven, I promise you. This hasn't just been like this weird, great awakening in my life, but it has been a wonderful awakening in my life to start considering the works of his hands. I walked by a tree and the Holy Spirit said, just look at it for a minute. I thought, I'm busy, don't you? Right? She's trying to help me with my busyness. So I stopped, and I just started examining the bark on this tree and touching it and the deep grooves. And I just stepped back to look at it. And I thought, how amazing is our Father God, the creator of all, that artists, that we, you know, renowned artists, that we just look at their paintings and we go, how do they do that? They don't even compare to the actual works of God's hands. That when I was just looking at the bark of the tree, and that bark serves as the skin to the plant, right? To protect it from heat and cold, to protect it from insects, to protect it from certain animals, right? Getting to the meat of that tree. And that bark, for us, it serves as an identifier of what tree that bark is beautiful. Things I never thought I'd say in a public setting, right? Man, bark is beautiful. You pull up to people's houses and they got like river birches and you know what I mean? We bought one of those Japanese maple trees out here when we first planted the landscaping, and then on Saturday we planted it, and then we come back to church on Sunday morning and somebody had stole it. There was that tailgate line of mulch, you know, where they dropped the tailgate and the mulch fell out, you know, little tailgate line of mulch there where they dropped, they must have had a tailgate full of mulch, you know, or a truck bed full of mulch. They saw, oh, Japanese maple, taking that, you know. So I went back, I bought an ugly old tree. I'm going to get something nobody wants to steal, right? My hot woman left me. I'll tell you what, next time I'll get me an ugly one. She'll stay home forever. You know what I mean? So, now, sorry, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for edit, Lord. Edit, Lord. And so, but the bark, right? You look at the different barks of the tree. Man, it just screams of the creativity of our Father God. I got a chance to go snorkeling in off the coast of Honduras in Roatan, and I probably told you guys about this a little bit before, but there's a reef within swimming distance from the beach. It's one of the few places in the world where you don't have to take a boat out to find a reef. And so we rented gear right there on the beach and swam out just 10 minutes, you know, 10 minute swim or less. And there's the most beautiful thing in nature I'd ever experienced in my life. It was like swimming in the perfect aquarium. And the colors of the schools of fish that swim by, the yellows and the bright blues and greens and emerald colors of these fish. And a big old ray swam like 10 feet underneath me, just tail behind it, you know. And my heart stopped until it was gone. And in the middle of that reef all around, and in the middle of that is this cavern that goes hundreds of feet deep. And you can see down, I don't know, 50, 60 feet with the light of that perfectly clear water. It's like, again, just literally, I felt like I was a little teeny person swimming in an aquarium, right? And this was God's nature, God's creation. And just being there, seeing all of that, I just realized there's nothing man has ever made that can compare to what God makes every single day. And yet we're so busy, we haven't taken time to consider it. If you consider nature, he says it'll preach to you how amazing your Father God is. And so I started considering the ant. And I noticed that the ants, there's no... I don't know about you, Bones, but I just haven't seen any where there's like this group of ants and they're all just like chillaxing. You know what I mean? They're just chilling there on the countertop. They got like a little circle form. There's like one ant out in the middle dancing around. Everybody else is like, hey, check it out. You know, when you find them, what do? You find them busy. And our Father God is not a hard case. Right? He's not trying to tell us, you have no fun, you have no fun. No, are you kidding me? No, the most fun is the fulfillment of our hearts. And what is he telling us through the ant? Hey, be productive with the thing that I've called you to do. It'll bring more joy to your heart than anything else you do. When our society is doing everything we can do to get out of work, and it's because people are misplaced, doing jobs they weren't called to do. operating, right? Men were not called to be inside the four walls of a building all their life. There's something about a man, we smell bad. We belong outdoors. You want to make a man happy? Get him outside, right? Say, hey, do you want to come sit in a conference for 4 hours a day? No, we struggle through church. Little Cam, you know, he's 19. Is he 20 yet? When's Cam's birthday? He's still 19, right? So Cam, he had just an honest pastor moment with me one day. And we went on a missions trip together. He was with us, and we went to Haiti. Actually, I horned in on his missions trip. He didn't horn in on mine. I was on his missions trip. And so happened to be there. And so we had, some open heart man discussion. You know what I mean? We're together out of the country. We're in Haiti. So we're talking. He said, Pastor, you're like the best pastor ever. I'm like, hey, cool, man. Say it again. And so, you know what I mean? So he said, you're like the best pastor ever, man. I said, man, thanks, Cam. I think you're awesome, too. And he said, I just struggle with something, though. I said, what is it? You can tell me anything, man. What is it? I thought he had like, deep struggles, you know, in his life. He's on a bear. Like, now this is his time. Like, he's going to get some. He said, I struggle sitting through church. I said, what do you mean? Like, the singing's tough, right? It's the preaching you like. It's the singing that's tough. And he said, you know, there's just, if we could have church, like, outside, I would like it so much better. Right? And I thought, you know, isn't that true? That we just kind of do everything one way, and we think everything's got to be like one way. And when you actually look in the scriptures, all it ever says about Jesus being inside is like a quick reference. Oh, he was in the synagogue teaching that day, right? He was in the temple teaching. Like, you don't see a lot of good things happening in there. And one time he went in with a bullwhip and ran them all out of there. You know what I mean? It was like, you've been inside too long. Get out of here. No, he didn't say that. But we see Jesus on the mountain talking to him, right? We see Jesus pushing out on a boat on the shore talking to the people. There's something beautiful about creation. And I know that's not just gender specific, right? Women love to be outdoors. Men love to be outdoors. There's something about considering the works of God's hands. David said, Psalm 8, look at it, we're almost done. Psalm 8. See, you didn't believe me when I said we wouldn't be too long today. Now we're wrapping up. First closing. Psalm 8. I get six closings, right? Psalm 8. Come on, Solomon's dad. How cool would it have been to have been Solomon's dad, right? I feel that way sometimes myself. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who've set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, and there it is again. I remember one time it was a July 4th, and we were watching the fireworks, and had a little one of the little red car with the sunroof, and had the sunroof back, right? And we're just enjoying the outdoors. We're enjoying the night, the hot air night of July and the fireworks. And so we drove home with the sunroof back, and summer's always been funny. I was the exact same way. So I know it's probably not the best thing for a small child, but I can't tell her not to do the very thing I wanted to do when I was her age, right? And Summer would just assume stick her head out the window with the window down, right? Until it's like 30 degrees outside, she wants the windows down. She wants to experience the thing, right? And so Summer's little, and I don't think she was in her car seat. And she was like a puppy dog, you know what I mean? He's like looking out the window with the windows, and she's just loving the night. We just had a great, fun night. And so Lake was 5, Summer was probably 2. And We pulled up at the house, and it was such a clear night. Just you could see a star. You could just see the constellation. It was so beautiful. And I turned the car off, and we just had a little family moment, you know, with the kids. I didn't want to get out of the car. I didn't want this moment to end. We just had such a fun night sitting on the roof of the car and watching the fireworks and then this drive home and eating ice cream and really didn't want to go in the house. I just wanted to linger here, you know. So I turned the car off. And I said, look at the stars. And I said, Lake, how many stars do you think there are up there? He paused with wisdom and said, all of them, Dad. I thought, yep, all of them, right? And so I don't think in the 5 years of his life I had ever stopped to consider the heavens. Right? It was that moment. What happens when you consider the heavens? The same thing that happened to David. He said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. Glory to God. When you consider the works of God, it will lead you to a reality of how big our Father God is, and it will then, like David, lead you right to the consideration of, wow, when I look at all that you've made, you made me to be the most special. They under-translated this passage in the King James. They said you've made him a little lower than the angels, but that word is not angels. That word is Elohim, God. That actually what David said there was, when I consider man, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou hast visited him, you have made him a little lower than yourself. That we are the ones made in the likeness and image of God. Hebrews 1 says, to which of the angels did he ever say, thou art my beloved son? That you're special. And you're made with a purpose. And you've been given gifts that the people around you need. You've been given gifts that we need. And there are projects to be done so much bigger than anything we have yet to do. And we are not going to shy away from it or take the poverty mentality of the sluggard to say we don't want to do it. It's too much work. I'm ready to bite off whatever the Lord wants to throw at us. And if he wants us to build, we'll build. If he wants us to fix, we'll fix. If he wants us to minister to more people, let's get busy working, because sitting around will do nothing but lead you to a quicker death. When those lepers were standing around, right, out in the colony, and they could do nothing because they were banished from town, I love it because one of them said, why sit we here till we die? We might as well go on over to the camp, right? And if they stone us, then they kill us. We're going to die anyway. But let's just go on over there. There's food over there, baby. And so as they were marching towards the camp, the Lord made their feet sound like the feet of an army, and everybody in town abandoned the town. Glory to God. I'm telling you, he's faithful. He'll either move somebody into your life to bring the provision, or he'll move the one that's standing in the way out of the way so you have access to the provision, baby. The raise will come. The promotion will come, right? They got over into that town. They had access to the whole town, man. They had hot bread just come out the oven, sitting on the counter waiting for them to eat. And it was all because they decided, we will be sluggish no more. Why sit we here till we die? When I consider the ant, it makes me want to get busy, baby. Come on, it makes me want to be fruitful more. Do I want to just be busy for the sake of being busy? No, I want to be targeted, strategic, purposeful. I'm not taking every phone call anymore, right? I'm not letting 100,000 people steal my time anymore. What is it that God's called me to do? I'll call you back, baby. I got something that it's... come on, somebody. I'm not even talking about you. I got people all around the country. I'm called to pastor you. I want your phone calls. You call. I'm thinking about people in other states. Hallelujah. Right? Because some people have figured out, oh, Jay's nice. He'll answer my call, right? It's like, You know what I mean? Come on, the Lord's helping me. Why? Because we got to be busy. We got to be busy. We got to be busy about what the Master's called us to do. Amen. We serve a big God, don't we? You got things in your heart I can't do. You got gifts and talents that nobody else can accomplish. Only you can. Right? Let's get busy with it. Let's pick up that crumb, put it over our head, and march. Hallelujah. Step in step, line in line with what everybody else is doing. And together as a colony, man, there's nothing we can't do. How did Ronald Reagan say it? There's no limit what man can do when nobody cares who gets the credit. Right? There's no limit what a group can accomplish if nobody cares who gets the credit. Paul said, I planted Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. What do I enjoy? Man, I enjoy when it's done and we can stand back and we can go, wow, look what the Lord has done. At DCA, we just celebrated the building of a gymnasium. And it was years in the making. It looked like it would never happen. I've been part of the school board since Lake was in kindergarten, right? 8 years. I've been trying to help the school. And group after group come through, couldn't get it done because they wanted this, that, the other, blah, 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 blah. And finally, we just decided, you know what, baby? We can do something. Many times, perfection stands in the way of something great. And because you can't have it just perfect the way you wanted it, then you won't do it. When the reality is, if you just get busy, Psalm 1 said he'll bless whatever you put your hand to do. What the Lord can't bless is you doing nothing. If you just sit there, the Lord will not cause the walls to fall. If David hadn't gone on the battlefield, Goliath would still be cursing God. Right? He'll bless when you put yourself in the fight. He'll bless it. And when we put ourselves on the job, Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but let him work with his hands that he may have some to give. Work is not a cuss word. Jesus called the supernatural work. He said, I must work while it's yet day, because the hour is coming when no man can work. Amen? What it is God's made you to do, he wants you to work. Get busy, stay active, stay fruitful. It'll be a blessing to your life. It'll pull you up out of poverty. If you can't eat and you can't pay your cable bill, don't pay your cable bill. Because your cable bill makes you sit around watching other people who are achieving their dreams. So if you can't afford food or your cable, good. Cut off the cable. Because the cable is just making you a sluggard anyway. Ain't nobody ever made a dollar watching cable. You say it's the cheapest form of entertainment. Well, it's true. It is the cheapest form of entertainment. But it's costing you a whole lot more than $86 a month. Because you're watching 4 hours a night. Right? The Bible's always true. The Lord don't want you to be poor and have nothing. He wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. T.D. Jakes, addressing the African-American community, said that the black man used to be the production force of America, and they would feel great about the work of their hands and celebrate and had strong families. He said, today the black man does not want to work, and so he has to try to satisfy his heart with pleasures of which he cannot afford because he has no production of his hands. And what has happened is 70% of African-Americans are born into single-family homes. You think work's not important? It'll destroy a civilization if it's too sluggish. I said, T.D. Jakes said that. I didn't say I said that. That was his observation. But it's an obvious observation. And it's not because of a color of a skin. It's because it's a universal truth. It would do the same for any color skin. We're not called and birthed so special that we do nothing. So Jakes added in another setting. He said, don't pray that God will bring you money. pray that God will make you an answer to somebody else's problem. Because if you're an answer to somebody else's problem, they will pay you very well for it. So what is it God's put in your heart that you're an answer to somebody else's problem?